The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second and third chapters.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God at the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come here.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. You have come to church today, you call yourselves Christians, and the question that I have for you today, is this all about what you are doing or God and His work for you? Be careful. I know you're sitting in church, I know as a pastor I'm asking you this question, and many of you will probably say, "Well, no, this is all about what God is doing for us today." But deep down inside, there is a constant struggle with us and with God. Deep down, there is a constant struggle for us to somehow manipulate God, to somehow say that it's really about us and what we're doing. We're showing up here today at church. We're showing up and giving our praises and our offerings and our prayers to God. Somehow, some way, it'd be nice to influence the big man upstairs. Is this really about you today and what you are doing? Or is it about, as we heard a couple weeks ago on the day of Pentecost, the mighty works of God being done in your midst? Think about that for a moment. Think about that in light of why we go to church. Why do we come to a place like this on Sundays or Wednesdays? So many will today say that you have to come to church, that you have to go and show up and give God all the praise and glory. And so many churches today add so many earthly things around the church to somehow show what it is that they're doing for God. "Do you feel the presence of God in this place?" they may say. They have all the lights, all the pyrotechnics, all the screens, all of the stuff to make it seem somehow like an environment that is worthy of God and His people being gathered together. Is this about God and His mighty works? God who works in hidden ways. God who works in mysterious ways. God who takes the weak things of the world to overcome that which is strong. God which uses the foolish things of the world to overcome that which is wise. Or is this about us today and how much you can give God? That is what our gospel reading is all about today. Jesus intentionally is walking through a grain field with his disciples. And his disciples are walking along picking tiny little heads of grain and eating them. This is, in the Pharisees' eyes, a big no-no. You don't do anything on the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was meant for rest. You prepared all your meals the day before. You didn't do anything. Even the servants, the slaves, were not allowed to do anything on the Sabbath. But the disciples are walking along with Jesus. And I kind of wonder even if Jesus himself was actually picking some heads of grain himself, and they're eating them. And here's where you see the dividing line of whether or not this place and you and me and the disciples are all about what we're doing here or what God is doing for us. The disciples are picking heads of grain, and the Pharisees, the clergy of the time, they lose it. They become completely unglued. They're harvesting grain on the Sabbath. They're milling the flour. They're baking bread. They're working on the Sabbath. They're just picking little heads of grain. They've pulled out the combines out of the barn. They've got the trucks. They're pulling in all of the harvest. They're picking little heads of grain. And they look at Jesus and they say, "Look at what they're doing, how it's unlawful on the Sabbath. Why are they doing this?" And Jesus begins to have a little dialogue where he likes to poke at them and twist for them the realities of what you are all here for today and what he has come to do. Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him as he's fleeing from Saul? How he entered the house of God at the time of Abiathar and he ate the bread of presence. This is the bread that sat out on a table outside of the temple, and it was meant for the priests only. David was in great need. He walks in with his friends and begins to eat because he was hungry. And you'll notice in the Old Testament, God does not strike down David. God does not tell him this was unlawful. God provided for David, even in a way that didn't seem according to what it is that he established this bread of presence for. And Jesus makes it very clear what this is all about for you and why you gather here, why you gather around these things today. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so even then, the Son of Man is the Lord of Sabbath. This day was made for you. This day is not about you coming into God's presence and God saying to you, "I don't think you have enough praise or thanksgiving for what I've done. I don't think you're truly repentant over your sins. I don't think you've done enough for the church, for the kingdom of God, or anything else. Cough up more money. Cough up more spiritualized prayer. Cough up all of these things so I can know who you truly are." That is not what this is about. This is about broken people. People like you, people like me, broken down in our sins, broken down by a world that asks so much and demands so much of us in so many ways. People coming into this place so that the Lord of Sabbath may take care of you, may feed you and comfort you with his word. So the Lord of Sabbath may tell you, this is not about you. This is not about what you're doing for God. This is about God squared and directly looking at you. You are the apple of his eye. You are the one for all the joy in the world who goes forth and lays down his life for you, his friends. And he gives himself to you wholly and freely today for the forgiveness of sins and for peace and comfort and hope in a languishing and dying world. This day for you today is not about you and what you're doing. It is about the Lord of hosts visiting you, his people. Not with pyrotechnics and lasers and smoke bombs, not to make you fear and tremble his presence, but to come by hiding himself and yet revealing himself through these wonderful mysteries of God, whereby he gives you himself wholly, freely, and lovingly. And if you're not so convinced as to why my initial question is so important, look on in this reading. You may sit there and say, "Well, this question of is this about me and what we're doing, or is this about what God is doing? Yeah, that's one of those kind of nerdy theological questions that the pastors and theologians like to ask." But be careful here. Because how you answer that question, is this about me and what I'm doing for God, or is this about God doing the mighty works for me, can impact how you look at each other and how you look at God. Just look at the rest of the gospel reading for today. Jesus goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath, the day he's established, and there's a man with a withered hand. Jesus, the Prince of Life, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus who has all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus who can raise the dead, heal the sick, and there's a man with a withered hand. You and I would say, Jesus, heal him. But you'll notice here, the Pharisees walk in, and literally there it says they are surrounding him. They're watching his every little move, and they're asking amongst themselves, is he going to heal this man on the Sabbath? Uh-oh, big question here. Is this about what we're doing for God, or is this about God visiting his people and showing his grace and his love? Jesus better not heal this man with a withered hand, even though we know he has the power to do it. It's the Sabbath, and he cannot do anything like this. And Jesus twists, and he pokes, and he looks at the man, and he says, come here. Come here. And this is where it gets really fascinating. Jesus says to this man, come here, and he looks at the Pharisees, and he says to them, is it right or lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath? That's the first question. Is it okay on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? And then he says here, even more so in the original language, is it good to do harm or good? Is it better to save a soul or condemn one? And they're stumped. They're silenced. Where is the love and the passion and the mercy from the Pharisees? Jesus exposes their loveless hearts. He exposes the reality that for them, the Sabbath is all about them and all about what they can do for God and how they can manipulate others to think that they can do something well for God as well. And they're silent. And here's where you see the Lord of Sabbath truly showing his might. He heals the man. He heals the man in the face of the Pharisees. He heals the man in the spite of legalistic religiosity. He heals the man to show that he is Lord of the Sabbath and that no matter what day it is that we gather together with God, he will do his mighty works. He will heal. He will save. And here's where you see the danger of that question lived out. It would be wonderful. It'd be a storybook ending if the Pharisees would have simply knelt down and said, my God and my Lord. But here is where you see the conflict, the war that we have with God and with ourselves. They immediately go out and they hold counsel with the politicians, the Herodians, to see how they can destroy Jesus. Is this about you today and what you are doing, or is this about God and what he is doing? Is this today about me and what I have done here and what will continue after I leave this place, or is it about God who has continuously come to this place and done his mighty works through his word? I think you know the answer. And I think you know that you have great comfort and great hope for the future that lies ahead for this place each and every time you gather around these gifts of God. Because this is where heaven meets earth. And this ultimately is where God reveals before you this day his bread of presence, his real presence in the Eucharist, and where he feeds you, his people, who are going through all the changes and struggles and challenges of life, where he invites you to come to this place and to see his rest, to hear of his rest, and to partake of his rest, knowing that though we struggle in this life, this is not our home. This is not about us and what we are trying to do for God. It is about God coming to you, his people, encouraging you, strengthening you in the faith, that your sins are forgiven, that your graves are now hallowed, they're considered holy, and that on the last day you will enter into that eternal rest, that wondrous, continual Sabbath that will never end, where the mighty works of God will be revealed, and where you will know that they have been accomplished all for you. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. Freely you have received, freely let us bring our offerings to the Lord.